start. Welcome to the Loving Our Communities to Christ interview podcast. We're going to be talking with Steve Hawthorne. And if you know who Steve is, you're excited about what we're about to hear. And if you don't, hang on and you'll hear some very insightful and motivating information about not just this prayer guide, but what it connects to in the Holy Spirit's prayer movement across our country and really across the world. I'm Phil Migliorati with the Mission American Coalition Cities Communities Ministries, and my partner Dennis Fuquay, who will be talking to Steve in a moment, is with International Renewal, the ministry that stewards prayer summits for us. So allow me to start with a prayer, and we'll be off and running. Lord, thank you that we can gather this way, some of us live here as this is being recorded, but others will listen in days, weeks, maybe even years ahead. And we ask that this conversation bring glory to your name. We ask that this conversation will be birthed out of the mind of Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't want this to just be information, certainly not just information about a booklet. We want it to be inspiration that causes us to renew our hope, inspiration that causes us to take steps forward, maybe steps we've said we'd take before and yet haven't done yet. But we also pray in this moment on behalf of every city, large and small, across our nation, the United States, that there would be, whether it be this prayer guide or something else or someone else, that there would be a growing movement of the United Church praying in harmony, based on scripture, prayers for their city, not just against the obvious things of evil, but for the things of God, for the well-being things of God, certainly the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. So use this call in some way. We thank you for Steve and what you have given to us through him. Bless him and his ministry for that, and open our eyes and ears to how we might benefit from seeking God for the city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. Steve Hawthorne, the founder, director of Waymakers.org, might want to write that down, Waymakers.org, and has just a real gift of having God's perspective on missions, God's perspective on prayer, that has led him or that has developed as he has been involved with, as a key component in the development of the Perspectives course, as well as another guide that has been used for many, many years called Seek God for the City. So, Steve, we want to welcome you. Thank you for your time and being on the call. I guess
thank
what I'd like
you.
To do is, yeah, as we sort of think about Seek God for the City, talk to us about the beginnings of that. You've been doing it for many years. Why? How did it develop, and why did you develop it?
Yeah, well, thanks for that. It's great to be with you. Yeah, Seek God for the City. We actually in 1992, way back, I co-authored a book with Graham Kendrick called Prayer Walking: Praying On Site with Insight, and that book still is still sells widely and still is helpful. What kind of morphed out of that was a very clear leading from God to take on a special prayer walking project, and that was to lead a prayer expedition to prayer walk the length of El Camino Real in California, from San Diego to San Francisco. And we had a clear sense from the Lord that the best time for that would be the 40 days leading up to Palm Sunday. We set out to do that. We accomplished it with teams of people, and that's a fascinating story in itself. And what we were doing was basically to retrace the steps of the founding highway in California that had been formed by mission leaders that had a great hope that God would do a great thing in California. And it was an amazing history, but we can't go there now. But we were praying in hope that, that God would somehow be welcomed in great praise and in great great movements of receptivity and praise. And, you know, an emblematic event for that kind of hope is indeed the climactic crescendo of all four Gospels, and that is Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday. And so we tried to bring attention to that by prayer walking that expanse of California with biblical hope during the 40 days to Palm Sunday. Now, I was a liturgical lowlife background. You know, I had no idea that was Lent. But it turns out that is mesh with most of the practices of the Lenten season. But what we did as we walked along is I wrote a little prayer guide that had a scripture for each day and a prayer I wrote out from that scripture. And we distributed that widely. And so we thought that was that. The project was a one-off thing. We were done. We were finished with it. But then I started getting phone calls from all over the place, not just California, but people begging me, could I print some more of those? Because they liked the prayer guide. And I thought, well, what do we do with that? So we actually expanded it just a little bit and put together the same prayer guide with different prayers. And I called it Seek God for the City 96. And obviously anticipating we might do it a couple more years. But that just expanded crazy. And then 96, 97, 98. It doubled in distribution each year until we were printing way over 100,000 by the year 2001. And so that's how it got underway. For a while I was rewriting it every year. Coming up with new scriptures, different prayers. And we still modify it year by year, but we have different sets of prayers and scriptures that we will go through and reuse. But we will always rewrite every prayer before we publish them. So the prayers are always a little bit different every year, and sometimes drastically different. We'll just pull out new ones. This year we have new ones. So there's 3,000 or 4,000. Churches, we're pretty sure we've not exaggerating there that groups from the church or the official leadership of the church, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 of them across the country make use of Seek God for the City.
You know, and I will just say that Steve, the prayers that you write, I so appreciate. I feel like I'm praying far more effectively when I'm praying the prayers that you've written than if I just sort of go off and pray on my own stuff. So they're just excellent opportunities for us to, like I mentioned earlier, to engage with God in from his perspective, praying from his perspective rather than our perspective. Along the way, I'm sure you've developed some stories. You've heard some stories, I should say, that of how the prayer guide has been used and sort of the impact of that. Talk to us a little bit about how God has blessed this little tool, as well as some stories of how it's been used by some of these congregations.
Well, what began to emerge pretty early on in the late 90s and the early 2000s was that was an easy point of unity between some really wildly diverse church traditions that would have difficulty, certainly, taking communion together, but would probably have a tough time inviting their people to all come over to this building or that place. But the church leaders wouldn't mind it if some of their people were using the same prayer guide as people in that other church down the road. But they wanted to look it over first. And of course, what we can't come to agreement on is you know, what kind of spiritual evil we're under, or what kind of details about how salvation or sanctification unfolds, you know. But what we can agree on is that the Bible is God's word to us, and that there is purpose that He has declared that we can pray toward in a general way. And so what we learned, what churches began to do was to pray together. And there's been many different surges of united prayer in communities, and we rejoice for every one of those where we're able to gather in the same room. But this began to offer a way that churches could unite their prayers without necessarily calling their people to come out on another Tuesday night or something and rally together. Now, we need those kind of physical presence gatherings, but to have a tool that means that we could be consciously, intentionally praying together with the scriptures. So that there's a few components there. Some sort of published, either an app form or a printed prayer guide with scripture and prayers that emerge from scripture. And with different leaders throughout the community, we've seen every year for 20 years now, we've seen hundreds of communities having multiple churches, not just the same denomination, multiple churches, consciously, intentionally praying together. So there's been several different communities that have had the mayor declare, you know, this 40 days as or a month, say February as Speak Up for the City month, you know,
yes.
And have different rallies and all that. There have been, you know, some kinds of so I guess the main thing we've seen is people uniting in hope. With a prospect that we're going to see people prayed for, and we've learned to infuse to offer this as a tool for the simple idea that we're going to pray for everybody, but we also want to see the gospel presented to every person. Which of those is harder, presenting the gospel to someone or praying? And presenting the gospel is a little more complicated, a little more tough to pull off. Well, let's just do the easy one first anyway. And so that simplicity said, yes, if we pray for everybody, we will find our hearts expanded and oriented toward people in fresh ways, and the gospel does go forth. So we've had many, many stories of people praying for people thought, well, I'll just pray for my neighbors here, and then something opens up, and conversations from that particular day's prayer strike up with their neighbors, all kinds of stories like that. And so overall, I'm coming away with a sense of hope that if we can encourage God's people to pray for people in their community, they will find their hearts expanded to see what God sees, feel what God feels, and find their way to serve and to seek out ways to be presenting the gospel.
Excellent. You know, just on a personal basis, we've used this prayer guide, my wife and I, for years and years, encouraged many others to do it as well. And I think it was probably 4 years ago, my wife prayed through the 40 days, and then a week or two later, I see that she's still using this guide. And even after Palm Sunday, she prayed through that book 5 or 6 times over the next year or so. And so it's not like these prayers have an expiration date, that they don't work after Palm Sunday, but they're usable all the time.
Yeah. So we checked into that, and we found we're a pretty good source assures us that the prayers, if you pray the prayers on the wrong day, they don't cancel out.
They don't?
we just want people to pray fearlessly. It won't be counterproductive. So good.
Yeah. Phil, go ahead. Why don't you fire away
sure.
at Steve here?
Hey, Steve. Good talking to you. So for someone who's never held the book or the mobile app, literally, you know, seen it with their eyes, they're thinking, properly so, they look at a page and there are written prayers, but there's scripture connected to it. It flows right out of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's all it were, I mean, that's fantastic. But it's so much more. There's other, I'll call it component pieces.
Yeah.
And there's many different prayer guides. They're all distinct. God's fingerprints on them. There's not like we're ranking one better than the other. But this,
yeah.
the distinctiveness of Seek God for the City is, and I'll let you talk in a minute, but, you know, there's the city aspect of it. You take us around the world. People who start with day one and go to the end have literally prayed for every country of the world, certainly every continent.
Right.
There's sidebars of affinity spheres, the term we use in Love 2020. It's amazing. So can you unpack those different components? Oh, also, there's a kind of a front and a back. I mean, there's a new article in the front, insightful article, of Prayer of Abraham. Prayer Care share stuff in the back. I need to shut up so you can explain it, but it's just a wealth of good stuff. So brag on.
Yeah, well,
Seek God
well,
for the
what,
city
what
a little
we
bit here.
Found is if we could guide people through thematic kind of coherence or there was some sort of substance of biblical truth about what God's purpose was, we could find ourselves praying with a sense of purpose and direction. So there's for the first 11 days, we start 4 days to Palm Sunday. It's always going to start on Wednesday. That's liturgically, that's Ash Wednesday. But that and the 7 days following the first 4 days, that's 11 days is the first week, we call it. Then there's four more weeks following that, each one of those with a theme. And following after the cultivated wisdom of since Jonathan Edwards' days of United Prayer, that the Bible urges us to pray for the revival of God's people and the awakening of people who are beyond the gospel, beyond God's people. Those simple two things. So we start by praying for some sort of renewal or revival of God's people first 11 days. Then there's themes throughout. So each day has a daily theme within that larger weekly theme. There's a scripture selected from the Old Testament, and then immediately following, there's a prayer that springs right from that scripture. And then there's a prayer from the Gospels that's on the same theme, and another prayer that springs right out of that scripture. We take great pains to be sure that the prayers are not just filling in the blanks or saying vague things like, "Oh Lord, we thank you that you are," and then repeat what the verse says. No, that's actually fairly tedious reading. So the prayers actually have I could say more about how we configure those, but there's a reason why they are perceived as really living, expansive, illuminating, light-filled prayers that we forge them and pray them. So that's the main body of the page, but on the sidebar, sometimes on the side, sometimes below, this year we're going to have on the side, there are 40 different, we call them subgroups, and as you say, affinity spheres is a good way to describe them, with another select verse and some specific ways to pray for that set of people. So unemployed people, broken families, single people, military personnel, physically disabled, ethnic communities, elderly people, children, women, sick people, you know, so all the, there's if you pray through these, and there's many people that that's what lights up their fire. They just pray those parts of the page, and that's great. If you pray through those, I think you pray for everybody in town about six times, because you know it's just the way it
right.
goes through. So it's really good. And then on the bottom corner, we do mention the name of every country on the earth, and so we welcome people to pray expansively. There are some teaching things, not so much teaching, just good illuminating ideas. Usually we have some kind of way of and different fresh ways of describing that we pray our way into with life-giving prayer for others that will lead us to opportunities to care and display God's love, and that's going to open up the way to share the gospel, declaring God's love. And so that prayer, care, share, that essential conjoint purposive way of praying, we have some creative things on that. So it's a 64-page booklet, 8.5 inches tall, 5.5 inches wide, and priced so that people can churches can acquire them for a little bit over $1 if they're by 100 or so, and then which means if you ask people to contribute $1 to defray the cost, it's really not a financial issue. Can we afford this prayer guide or not? It turns out to be a matter of, is this the kind of way we want our people to be learning how to pray?
And Steve, again, for those who've never seen it, it's nothing wrong with a prayer guide that's just a photocopy with a staple in it, but this is way beyond that. I mean, high gloss pages, full color, every page, photographs, not that those things in and of themselves make our prayers better, but it really is you kind of backed off the word teaching a little bit, but it, as a pastor, I distributed this when I was pastoring a church, of course, for people to pray and for us to grow in our prayers, but also if they would just read through this, they're learning how to pray as they
yes.
pray. And
right.
and then the front and back stuff that you put in there, it changes every year. Maybe teaching is a little strong, but I mean, there's just such good insights there. And our purpose here is not
it's instructive without feeling pedantic that you're being talked down to. You little people who don't
exactly.
know how to pray like intercessors. A big thing I'm trying to do is to demystify the whole thing of intercession and in some ways to demilitarize it so that we don't think of it as just an attack on our city. We urge people to read through these prayers and say, is this the kind of prayers that we'd like our people to be praying? And there's usually some kind of positive way of answering that question. Then I say give some of these prayer guides to some of the leaders of your community and say, here's how we're going to be praying. And you will not be embarrassed with how these prayers present themselves.
Right, right.
Yeah, so one way we've seen is that, for example, this year, university students, we pray for them on the Intercollegiate Day of Prayer on February 22nd. The next day, Friday, is law enforcement and judges, we pray. We have people buy copies of these and just hand them to some of the judges or some police leaders and say, hey, just want you to know, got five churches in town praying for you special today, and do the same thing. So we find many churches ordering about 50 copies to give away the whole booklet to people who are being prayed for on that day. So
what a good
wow.
idea. Good. If, Steve, one of the things I would want to ask you is this. Okay, I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
I'm sold. I'm saying, yeah, I want to do this. What input would you give to a pastor who wants to encourage his people to make use of this. How would you want that? How would you want it to be presented in such a way to make it just really attractive for the individual to grab hold of and say, "Yeah, I'm going to do this."
Well, our friend Doug Small has learned how to promote this at least to pastors, but to other people as well. What he does is he simply reads a scripture, and then people don't know what he's reading, but then he reads out one of the prayers, and he selects it so that it's one of the kind of ringing, life-giving kind of, not religious-sounding, but clear, eloquent kind of prayer that is using the vernacular. So he'll read that and said, "How would you like for your people to pray that?" You know, and so we've seen pastors do the same thing to say, you know, here's a scripture, a familiar one to you. Listen to this prayer. Could we unite on this kind of prayer? Let me read a prayer for you. Then they read that prayer and say, "Well, there's a whole book of these kinds of prayers," and so that can be done. Another thing I've seen is people, wise pastors will develop advocates that are not on staff, but are people who can be called upon to advocate a certain kind of involvement. So if they can get three or four or five people to read and pray through some of these prayers in December or January, and then call on them in January to explain how they liked, what prayers they liked, what was how it helped them. It's usually a very effective thing to do. So just to hand it out to a few key leaders and have them read it ahead of time or parts of it, you get some advocates going. Another key thing, I mentioned it before, but if you try to buy copies and hand them out and pass them out at no cost, what happens is they'll feel, "Oh, well, another political thing, or another thing from the Sunday school board or something, you know, okay, literature, or always handing stuff out to us, okay." But if you say, you know, some kind of simple way of saying, "I would give this to you, but you may not use it then." So if you could just put a dollar down for this, a donation, it will help you actually pray through it probably a little bit more. And we all want to learn how to pray. So if pastors can encourage that thing that Jesus says, teach it. The disciples approach Jesus and says, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that, you know, that they were apostles at that time. So, yeah, we all should be wanting that. Well, you can find that easily in the heart of every Christian, that they would like to be able to pray better and stronger and more gracefully and intentionally. So just to assure people, this will help you learn how to pray a little bit better. And so it's worth a dollar. And then like I said, people will probably use what they value. They will value what they remember putting even a 25 cents down. I've seen any pocket change, any dollar you have. So the reason I'm emphasizing that not is because of the money, but somehow the investment that people will find themselves.
Good point.
I've also heard somebody say, I forbid you. I want to just please beg you. Don't anybody pray all 40 days, because people like you who do things perfectly intimidate the rest of us who struggle. So can we, you know, some
true.
Of us, you know, oh God, like 18 cumulative years of undone quiet time. And so, yeah, that's what I need. Another thing to embarrass me, 40 days in a row for sure. It's like, no, don't pray all 40 days. Just keep poking through it. And so that's how I've seen it, heard stories of how it actually begins to affect long range the way people pray. That's why to do this. It's not because we will get answers to prayer this month. We will see answers immediately. No, these are long-haul prayers, that God's been working for generations to pursue these things. We're adding those prayers, but it does change the way people pray.
Yeah. Phil, let me go back to you in just a minute here, but one of the things that I've observed, and we referenced it earlier, but just to highlight it again, is that I see this booklet as each day it's an expansive opportunity. What I mean by that is you can take 5 minutes and dive into one prayer on the page and feel like you've participated. Or you could take a couple hours in a particular day and pray it through very, very thoroughly and go out and prayer walk a place or two. And so it's expansive according to what our time frame allows. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Take us up on a hot air balloon city. You know, look at the whole city. Any stories of cities that have done this maybe over a long period of time, or you mentioned a few things already, but you know, this is a prayer guide for individuals, but as churches do it, there's a collective unity within the churches that are doing that. But then as a congregation does it, but then as several or many congregations do it, there's that kind of that third ring, if you will, the citywide aspect. Talk to some of us about that who maybe have never gotten up in that hot air balloon and thought of these prayers on a bigger community-wide, city-wide basis.
Yeah, well, we've seen we don't try to orchestrate that and say, well, your city can be a seek up for the city community, but there are several of the Special Mission America, Loving Our Cities to Christ, Love 2020 collaborative efforts between multiple churches and communities that have used this. What we've seen the most vigorous use of it, say in Kansas City, there are citywide leaders that order, they've ordered as many as 4,000 copies, and work out ways to distribute them and a few hundred Spanish language at the same time. When citywide leaders try to make things into a seek up for the city month, what sometimes happens is that people try to approach this as a methodology that will certainly do the trick this time, and we will see, you know, the city turned over to Christ in a massive revival, but then it doesn't work out that way. So some leaders, we've heard them tell us, "Oh, we tried that," and whenever I hear somebody experimenting with prayer, what they're trying to do is figure out how to work out a little pragmatic mechanism to make it work, and so those are usually disappointments. But when there is a long-range sense of our churches in our city are maturing and growing and bearing fruit every year by year in the farmland of our community, as it were, to bear fruit for God. If that long-haul look, no farmer wants to farm his farm 1 year. Always has a long-range look at it. So what Seek Up for the City does is it cultivates, and that's a good word, it cultivates a long-range vision. And so that the churches, the cities in which there are united prayer endeavors, what this represents is Seek Up for the City is a tool to help us orchestrate a season of united prayer that will press us forward in a long story that we don't know what date or time how God will fulfill great things, but we're going to be praying great things. So I hesitate to tell stories where five churches prayed together and then they saw 40 new converts or something like that. We have stories like that. People report that, but the greater thing that we see is that churches have already have an organic unity and a connective, relational kind of ambition, and they see and sense God doing something distinctive in their community, and they avail themselves of Seek God for City as a tool to help them toward the vision and the hope that God is instilling within their hearts for their community. And so that's probably the best thing we could, that we've discovered about Seek God for City. It's a very flexible tool that is a timely way, helps unite prayer toward the great things that God is doing in many different cities. So I hesitate to say that this is a good gimmick that should work for you. No, what it will do, if you already have ambitions and hopes that God has formed, it will deepen and strengthen those and unite you with others beyond the fellowship of the gospel that you now enjoy. So it can only help, but it's not a trick that is a surefire gimmick that will work.
Well, to jump on that aspect that it's not a gimmick or a trick, nobody wants that, yet we fall into that so easily. Your byline, if I can use that word, Seek God for the City, Prayers of Biblical Hope. Steve, you talk a lot about hope, and maybe you can dig down on that a little bit because...
Yeah, well, hope is...
We're
pretty insistent that hope, if we're reading it right in Scripture, hope is not a thing that happens. It's not a mood. It's not a feeling. It's actually something you do. It's in the great triumvirate of faith, hope, and love. These three remain. We'll be doing them in eternity. Yes, we're going to be hoping in eternity. We'll go from one thing to great thing to the next great thing. But right now, love is something you do. Faith is something you do. Hope is something that you do. And it takes a tensile strength. It takes a stamina, an endurance, a persistence of desire and delight and ambition and people can hope together and do this great thing of hope. And I'm not sure if we can pray in faith and act in love if we're not also praying and pursuing things in hope. And so as we pray, so shall we hope. Prayer is probably one of the greatest single actions of hope, that we're calling out to God to bring forth what he's promised, what he's purposed. And we're with confidence that he will not fail to fulfill everything that he has begun. And so we may not see it in our lifetime, but that's why we need to pray great things instead of just praying for the little fix-it prayers. One pastor says these aren't fix-it prayers, these are fulfill-it prayers. And so that's a way of praying pulls people away from the utilitarian, in case of emergency, break glass. And most people are really discouraged about prayer because they can't seem to make it work for them. They hear stories of miracles and people who pray good get answered, but I don't pray very well, so I don't get answers. So then people look to outsource their prayers and try to find someone to pray for them, and instead of doing their own praying. And so we're hoping to build into God's people a strength of doing the act of hope, to expanding our vision and clarity with anticipation and desire that God will do it. If you don't have a desire that God would actually bring a transforming life to people in your neighborhood, if you don't really want that, you're not going to pray it sincerely. You'll say something perfunctorily. But how do we cultivate with persistence that kind of pursuit? So praying is how we get ourselves into hope, and hoping is how we can pray our best, and then we end up serving. So that's just a few comments about hope.
And a quick follow-up in terms of the prayer movement, not just, of course, your guide or individual cities. You see the prayer movement maturing. You've been in this decades now, and at the center of so much. What's your assessment on our human side of the prayer movement?
Well, I see prayer movements. They seem to go through seasons, and in some people's minds, they've preached that well. We got to keep this going. We got to keep this doing this until Jesus comes with a regularity to it. And what I've seen is over the years is there are surges and increase moments. There are leaders that kind of lift up and raise up and strengthen things for a time, for 2 or 3 or 4 years or something like that, and then things kind of stag down. And instead of berating ourselves that, oh, we're failures, we can't keep this going, there might be something organic to this, the seasonality of God's people, that we kind of go through growth spurts and seasons and times. And so I sometimes urge people, don't use Seek God for the City every year. Try to mix it up a little bit. Do something different. And we certainly don't want to ever get the idea that Seek God for the City contains prayers that are the important prayers to pray. If you're not praying with this prayer guide from Scripture, find some other one and write some other one. So the seasons, I think that gives me encouragement to keep pressing on and to look for the fresh ways that God may be growing or maturing different dimensions, different strengths, different churches that will surge and grow, and to not get discouraged when we have to press on. But I should mention that there are other articles that are on our website, waymakers.org. You mentioned that at first, waymakers.org. Go there to take a look at some of the sample pages from Seek God for the City. You can find out about the Spanish translation. There are easy to afford discounts. If 2 or 3 churches go in together and order 500 copies, you get them for I think $1.20 each, and that's the single price is $3. Now, one thing I should mention, guys, is that we want every pastor to have a review copy of this if they would like it. And we set aside a couple thousand copies to do that. We still have a few of those left. And so if you can, if pastors will contact us and or positioned prayer leaders, not just, not just somebody that likes to pray, but someone that has any kind of role in the city or in the church where they have a position as a prayer leader, we would like to send you a review copy if you don't already have one, a complimentary on us. So do call us at 800-264-5214 or waymakers.org. Contact us, and we'd be happy to help you.
Thank you, Steve. Dennis, take us home.
Yeah, Steve, thank you so much. We're trusting that this will be a call that will not only expand the use of this guide, but also encourage folks in prayer, but also expand the kingdom as a result of that.
Yeah.
What we haven't mentioned is this is also available on an app. It's also available. There's children's versions available as well as multi-language versions. You mentioned Chinese as well as Spanish. And so it's just a very, very good
tool. One other
tool.
Thing is the Love 2020, we have a little heart symbol on there. We do start in 2018 on February 14th, so maybe that's a little coincide. I want people to get the date clear.
Very cool. Thanks, Steve.
Valentine's Day up through Palm Sunday, February 14th through March 25th.
Yep.
So let me lead us out in prayer. Father, we're grateful that you still care about the people in your world. And we, God, we want to care as you care. And we want to pray as you'd have us pray. So I want to ask in Jesus' name that you'd use these minutes here on this call, this recording, to encourage the saints as well as expand the prayer base here in your church for your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, go to waymakers.org, get sample pages, look it over a bit, and hopefully it'll be a good tool. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
We'll see you again.
Okay.
Hang on, guys.